SRN, Survival Radio Network.
Survival Radio Network. Danielle Wright, she's a member of the Seeds of Empowerment Speakers Bureau and the owner of Wright Relations, a public relations firm who specializes in social media strategies. Her clients also include Beverly & Associates, who are the newest search firm for athletic administrators on the market. And so, they are really pleased with Danielle Wright, and so I'm sure you will too. So if you are a coach who would like to get on the speaking circuit, I would really suggest Danielle Wright as your social media strategist. So contact her to assist you in getting your brand out there as a speaker, expert, or consultant at info@wrightrelations-relations.com. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, at Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, hyphen, relations.com. Info at WrightRelations.com. Author Andre T. Harris has 3 books, Growing Through Life, Seasons of Life, and Growth, all available through Amazon.com. If you know someone who's going through a winter season, encourage them today by purchasing one of these books. Again, Growing Through Life, Seasons of Life, and Growth. Because we all know that it does take a little of all 4 seasons for us to have a full seasons of life. And so, yes, it is a time of pink slips in athletics administration, especially in coaching. And so that's why we have partnered with Andre T. Harris, because I have read her books. And when you look at the big picture of things, we only realize this is a season. So, again, I encourage you to go on Amazon.com, check out the 3 books she has out, Growing Through Life, Seasons of Life, and Growth. Big announcement coming soon. We're making big, bold moves in the next upcoming season. And I'm so glad you'd be taking the journey with me. If you want to be exposed to further your career, gain more speaking opportunities, and just really get your brand out there as an expert, you're going to like this big bold move. And so, as a teacher says in class, see me after class. So see me after this podcast. Inbox me after the podcast if you're interested in jumping with me to our next. And one of those next is our Athleticpreneur Institute. So we're going to come back with that, because I got some super friends out there who are in the entrepreneur world that have brought me to this level. And many of you always ask me, how did you make that transition? Join me in the Athleticpreneur Institute and you will find out. So again, see me after the podcast, inbox me, and if you're interested in the Athleticpreneur Institute, type institute or athleticpreneur. I know where you're coming from, and then and stay tuned for the Making Big Moves. Today is a great, great day. It is fitting that we're still in March, because March is the month we celebrate the significance of women leaders internationally. So March Madness. Now, if you're in athletics and you got a friend who's not in athletics, and everybody knows you don't try to call a person during the weekends in March because you're going to be watching March Madness. It's just, I just don't get it. What people don't understand, don't call me, all right, unless you want to talk to me about the game, and we're going to sit there in silence as I watch the game and talk afterwards, in between, okay? So it's really fitting today that I have a Tar Heel joining us today who used to run up and down the court, and I'm not talking about MJ, okay? I'm talking about, I said this is the month of the woman, y'all. I'm talking about Tiffany Tucker, who is Director of Sponsorship and Governance for my home by the sea, Hampton University. Welcome to the garden, Tiffany.
Monique. Hi, Monique. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you?
Good. Are those my tears?
Yes, they're your tears.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so, so much. I first want to thank you for just an amazing opportunity to be on your podcast today. As a listener for the longest time through the first season, you know, it's just an amazing opportunity just to be here and be amongst the alumni of amazing speakers that you've had come before. So I definitely wanted to start off by saying thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Yes, I just, and you are one of the recipients of a Chat in the Garden Season of Empowerment Scholarships. And so
yes.
This is very fitting. Yeah.
Yes. I was able to attend the Emerging AD seminar down in Atlanta, Georgia at Clayton State that's ran by Athletic Director Tim Duncan. And, of course, that was an amazing experience. And, of course, I say thank you again for the opportunity and just even having that available during that time.
I'm glad that those seeds planted you to be able where you are today, dear.
Yes, ma'am, they did. They sure did.
Did.
I mean, Tim has been amazing. And then, you know, also their opportunity to meet Dina Freeman Patton while I was there. I had never met her. She works out on the West Coast at Cal Bakersfield, who is, you know, a part of the March Madness. Her team doing very well postseason as well. So, you know, of course, just being able to meet Derek Gregg for the first time, the AD at Tulsa, and, you know, building those relationships over the course of the year. I mean, a lot of seeds were planted, and they're definitely growing.
Well, we're giving Tim a free commercial today. Check out his Emerging Leaders Institute Academy. I don't know what's the end of it. I just know Emerging Leaders. What's the end of it? Is it an institute or academy?
Academy.
Okay, academy. It takes place in June or July.
Yeah.
He has fantastic speakers. I understand he's going to have some new speakers this year. And, you know, the funny thing is that I gained a participant to lead your shit retreat from a young lady who was at that event. I think it might have been the same year. She bought one of our DVDs for season one because I sponsored that particular year. And so planting seeds with Tim does bring me back a harvest. So I think I'm going to call him back and say, let's come up with something for this year.
I'm going to tell you, it can't be anything but amazing. The staff that he has come in and train for those 2 days, it's just a priceless experience because, you're not only getting the knowledge, you know, of the ins and outs of the day, but you're actually able to ask the real tough questions, you know, the questions that you aren't able to be as transparent about with everyone. And, you know, that academy definitely allows for a level of transparency and a level of comfort that you can ask the, you know, quote unquote, not so bright questions. So, I definitely take my hat off to him and his staff and, you know, just the faculty that comes in and teaches for those 2 days.
Well, I'm going to ask you one of the most important questions of the day. It's a March Madness question. Before
yes.
we jump into you, is this the first time South Carolina has made it to the Final Four of women?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's their first Final Four.
No, no. I mean, I guess with Dawn.
Yes, with Dawn, yes.
Yes. Okay, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, yeah, we love Dawn. She's an ACC product.
Yes.
So
Virginia.
we love Dawn, and what she's done with that team is tremendous. I mean, she literally took the Lady Gamecocks from, a football school to just being a place where women's basketball is, pinnacle. People think when they think about the Carolinas, of course, they think about the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
I knew it was coming. I prepared myself.
It's amazing. It's March Madness now. They call it madness for a reason. So it's an awesome opportunity for the Lady Gamecocks to just be one of those top five, top three programs in the country right now. It's just so beautiful to see women's basketball to what it has evolved to. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing them compete in the Final Four, and hey, not even bring it on home, bring the hardware home.
Well, we got lots of questions here for you, but let's just start from the very beginning. Your career path from college to your current position, and just for the record, she's a homegirl. I'm from Sussex. She's from Ettrick, right down the way. So,
yes, I am an 804 girl. Grew up, right in Petersburg, right behind Virginia State. So those are definitely the stopping grounds. A graduate of Matoka High School in Chesterfield, where I was a three-sport athlete, and just an amazing experience as a warrior. I always shout out my warrior pride whenever I have an opportunity. But, in these short years I have been here on Earth, I've had an amazing fast track to achieve a lot of goals that I kind of set for myself, after graduating college at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Definitely have to shout out my Lady Tar Heels, my Hoop Five. I have to shout them out. After graduating, I actually interned at UNC Hospitals for about 8-9 months. I worked in a GYN oncology unit.
Cool.
And, so while I was there, I did that and then transitioned to working in mental health counseling, which is an awesome experience. And during that time, I also coached boys AAU basketball. Mm. So that's where, basketball came back around. And then quickly from there, ended up taking a Division III job at Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania, which is literally 20 miles from Lake Erie. And if you know anything about lake effect snow, it happens hard and it happens fast. So during my time there, we were very successful. I worked for a new coach, Kate Costanzo, which was an amazing experience to work with her. She gave me an opportunity when a lot of people weren't given opportunities to first year grads. I was literally called for an interview. Kate went up to Meadville. She interviewed me and offered me on the spot. So literally within 2 weeks, I was packing a U-Haul with my car on the back, and I drove from Durham, North Carolina, all the way up to Meadville, Pennsylvania. So definitely want to give Kate a shout-out and just how much I appreciate her, taking a chance on a girl with a dream. And from there, I left and I went to Radford University, which is, Division I in the Big South. Worked with Taj Gumba, an amazing basketball player for George Washington. She was starting a new staff at Radford, and joined that staff there with Felicia. Well, she's Felicia Hardy now, another great experience to really understand the ins and outs and working as a recruiter, cultivating those relationships on campus and how things really worked at a Division I institution.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, went to Francis Marion University. In Florence, South Carolina. And I love Florence. It's one of the best kept secrets in South Carolina. Good food, good music, good people, and great women's basketball. Could not have taken a better job in the sense of learning what winning looks like and learning the sacrifice and what comes with being, you know, a NCAA tournament team on a consistent basis. Heather Macy, she's at East Carolina now, but, you know, I was able to work with her during that time to really understand the level of sacrifice I needed, you know, in my daily activity and in my goals and what I wanted to do to really understand what it was going to take to be a successful coach. And, you know, playing in the Peach Belt, going to the Peach Belt tournament, going to the Sweet 16 as a Division II team. It was an amazing experience. It kind of put me back to the thoughts and, you know, the level of success I had while I was at North Carolina. So after our success there, I was offered a position to go to Claflin University to become a head women's basketball coach. And I was 26 years old.
Good grief.
You know, and I told you it was the fast track. it was definitely a fast track, but I will say this. It prepared me for where I am now. Because everything, of course, God puts in your path is for a reason. When I took over the program at Claflin, they were not a successful team, you know, on the court or in the classroom. And, I was able to come in and make some things happen. And, you know, unfortunately, my athletic director that hired me fell ill. And with the new administration comes new goals, new objectives. Mm-hmm. So I left Claflin and joined the staff at Elizabeth City State. Aliko Dunk had a change in his staff with Dion. She was the assistant women's basketball coach there. Dion called and said, "Hey, Tip, I've got to make a move. I would love for you to come in this position. My girls are great. I want to put them in the hands of someone that loves the game like I do, that understands student-athlete development, you know, but much greater. They see a face that looks like theirs that understand their problem." So packed it up and moved to Elizabeth City, North Carolina. You know, we definitely, you know, had some successes there. Worked under a couple different coaches, Aliko Dunk and Ron Woodard, while I was there. But also the two most meaningful relationships that I developed while I was there was with the current and newly appointed and new title, Associate Athletic Director for Internal Operations and SWA, Myra Blow. And Lynn Dawson was my athletic director at the time. And that move and moving with Mr. Dawson, it was very strategic in the sense that God knew my heart. He knew I was ready to kind of start transitioning out of coaching into an administrative role. And trust and believe, he didn't let me down. He handed me all sorts of activities to do, from, you know, working with compliance to organizing and helping our staff with our the Down East Classic, which is huge in Rocky Mount each year. He asked me to be the volleyball coach. He asked me to be the tennis coach. I had never coached tennis in my life, but guess what? I had to figure it out. And
right.
One of the main people I called when he told me to be the tennis coach was Jay Friedman, that I'd worked with in Allegheny. He was an assistant with me while I was at Allegheny, you know, six years ago. So I called Jay. I'm like, "Jay, I've got to be the tennis coach. You know, I have no clue." He was like, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to send you some film. I'm going to get you some workouts." And it was, you know, it was, of course, just leaning on all of those relationships that I had built over the year, So then we moved to where I am now at Hampton University, our home by the sea. I really love that slogan, our home by the sea, because it clearly is surrounded three parts by water. One of the most beautiful campuses in the 757 area.
Thank you.
When I started here, I actually applied and accepted the job as the NCAA eligibility certification specialist.
Mm-hmm.
That was my foot in the door, and I must say that my athletic director and my senior woman administrator, Eugene Marshall and Paula Jackson, have, of course, threw me to the fire, and they've definitely given me all the tools to really succeed here. And I say that because I've only been here a year and I think 8-9 months now, but I've literally held 4 titles since I've been here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I started out as the eligibility certification specialist, then moved quickly a couple of weeks later. I ended up being the interim head volleyball coach.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I wouldn't have had that experience had
mm-hmm.
I not been thrown in the fire by Lynn Dawson
mm-hmm.
at Elizabeth City.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what to do, jump right in there until we hired a full-time head coach. And that was a great experience to learn the student-athletes. And now, you know, my student-athletes now have a different respect for me now because it's like, oh, we thought you just did that, but you're the coach. So
mm-hmm.
what do you do?
mm-hmm.
it's been great. And then shortly after that, I became the interim director for administration and governance and working with all of our human resources in our department, Title IX. I was able to go out to San Diego with Valerie Bonetti and
mm-hmm.
Go through her training, her Title IX training out with our Title IX coordinator here on campus
mm-hmm.
and assistant general counsel. So that was an amazing experience. And then
that was Kelly.
Yes, Kelly Harvey.
Yeah. I've known Kelly since we were in high school.
Yes. And, you know, of course, she's amazing. And, of course, she knows a lot of the legal side. And then with
mm-hmm.
me knowing the athletic side, it literally came together. And it was a great marriage of two people really understanding the ins and outs of what Title IX is and what it means
mm-hmm.
to our university as a whole, you know, on the university front and also in that, you know, on the athletic side. So that was a, you know, great experience. And now I am the director for sponsorships and governance. And in that title, you know, of course I do go out and get our corporate sponsorship here at Hampton in our athletic department, you know, also with the governance piece, still working in compliance, and I, you know, oversee our eligibility specialist now, the person that kind of took my position.
Mm.
So, so it's really, really good, and just working in on a day-to-day basis with Mr. Marshall and a lot of our strategic planning here in the department.
Well, here in the garden, very interactive, and from
mm-hmm.
my from Facebook, I can tell there's some people who are actually listening. If you hit one, oh yes, if you hit one, you can get some of your questions on live. My engineer will inform me, and I will give you an opening to jump right in, like jump rope, you know. So, like Double Dutch, you know, you got to wait to get the call in. So, if you're on and you want to ask your question live, go ahead. To let him know that you are ready. But you got to hit one. So I do have a couple of questions. I'm hoping you weren't going to answer this question before I get to it. I hope I can say this man's name right. Razul Hajar, a youth advocate, he wants to know, what type of impact does your duties have on the university, and how did you gain that unique position of governance and sponsorship?
Well, of course, you know, just through the kind of timeline and how and what I was doing when I first took the job here at Hampton as the eligibility specialist to transitioning, you know, Mr. Marshall and I really sat down and talked about some of the things in our department where we needed to, make more space and isolate it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to receive the NCAA AASP grant back in 2015, and that allowed us to hire more staff. So,
mm-hmm.
of course, with hiring about five new people, of course, it now created a space where, he as a manager was able to kind of look at the strengths and weaknesses and kind of sort out some things where we really needed to make a little bit more headway and pay, just be able to pay more attention to. It wasn't that anything was going, bad, but it was just an opportunity for just growth in our department. So with that came sponsorships. Formerly was housed in the marketing department, and as one of our key things in our strategic plan here, we want to make an effort to increase student athlete experience and also increase fan experience. So we moved sponsorships out of marketing so that they can totally focus on both the fan and the student-athlete experience. Mm-hmm. And if you've been to a game this year, I'm telling you, Ms. Pam Richardson and Chris Dale Jordan has done an amazing job with literally creating a very high-level fan experience and student-athlete experience, in our gym, at our game. At our football games have never been more colorful and exciting. Mm-hmm. Our basketball games, I love when that Gatling gun comes out. So it's one of those things where, we're shooting like 20 T-shirts in the stand. So, it's just an amazing opportunity to really let them do what they do best. And with Pam taking over as the director, being put in that position, it was a good opportunity to separate the sponsorships and stepping into that role, and then also for me personally, just being more well rounded. A lot of my experience in administration was all internal, like I said before, doing the human resources piece, doing compliance, doing academics. It was an opportunity for me to gain the experience to really learn the external side of the house. And of course, it's been amazing. I've had a very good meeting yesterday with a president of one of the largest insurance companies in the state of Virginia. And that would have never happened sitting in my office just chomping away at compliance bits. So that's kind of how it's all come to play and how it impacts our university. At the beginning and end of the day, student athletes are my focus. As a former student athlete, as a former coach, I always like to say you never, take off the coach's hat, but as a former student athlete, as a former coach, student athletes are our focus, and we want things to be amazing for them. Yes, it is Hampton University, and yes, I have experience playing at one of the greatest universities on earth, and it gives me an opportunity to be able to provide student athletes with the same sort of experience.
Well, we do have a caller, and before I go to that caller, I want to ask this question. So, caller, hold on, I'm gonna bring you in. But you have a very unique situation. You have several friends in the business that started out with you as teammates on the court. One of the best friends is the one that's on the call. Athletics is competitive, even on the non-playing side, meaning, when we're looking for jobs in athletic administration. How do you support each other when you're not at the same level of success? Because when you're on the same team, it's easy. But now that you are not on the same team, but in the way y'all talk, it's like y'all the same team anyway. Like y'all never left the court. But how do you keep that up when one is excelling and the other one is trying to get back into the game? She's sitting on the bench.
Well, we like to think about it like this. My coach Sylvia Hatchell, told us a long time ago, you've always got to circle your wagon. And then you think about in the old Westerns when they circled their wagons, they made sure that an enemy could not infiltrate them, on any side. And, being a part of Hoop Five, yes, Jennifer Williams is my best friend to the end. God, I thank you so much for her. But we always have each other's backs, personally, professionally. You know, we can go to each other and we can talk about anything. And we talk about athletics being competitive when we're searching for jobs. And, you know, we come from two different realms, and we've both been very successful in both, mm-hmm. you know, in both sides. You know, Jennifer came from TV and production with Fox, you know, and of course I took a coaching realm. So we both mm-hmm. had successes in our own right, you know. Titles and labels mean nothing to us because guess what? At the end of the day, like I said, we want our student athletes to have the best experience possible. And with that being our nucleus and our goal, you know, there's no competition. We cheer for everybody. You know, we cheer for each other. Of course, we cheer for each other a little harder, but we cheer for everyone. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think that relationship, you know, we have as former teammates in uniform, you know, really transitioned to us to being the teammates that we are as friends personally and in the athletic profession realm. When I signed up to be, you know, the director of sponsorships, Jennifer's the guru of,
yes,
you know,
yes.
fundraising. I mean, she got it. And
yes.
I would be remiss. Yeah. I would be so remiss if I did not pick up the phone and say, hey, Jennifer, I'm working on this, or I'm thinking about taking this job. And, you know, she's the first person to say, girl, you better do it. Go. We'll figure it out. You know, and then with her transition into the deputy athletic director position at Alabama State, you know, of course, there's some things she may tip. Hey, you know, what do you do about this? Or, you know, have you ever looked into that? Yes, here it is. I'm going to send it over to you. We'll talk about it later. We help each other in all facets. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, now she's learning a lot more of the internal. You know, here I am in mm-hmm. my career learning more of the external.
Right.
So
offense, defense.
Yes, offense, defense.
Yeah. Well, let's bring BFF in.
Yes, bring her in.
All right. You on, Miss Jennifer?
Hey, hello.
Hey,
hi. How are you all doing?
Fantastic.
Doing great. How's my baby girl, Harper?
She's adjusting from spring break. She's in rare form. She's got to get back into the routine. But she's in daycare now. But I'm here. Just had a question from Montgomery, Alabama, Alabama State University. Wanted to talk to you, Tiff, about your transition from coaching to administration. I know that we had a lot of talks when you were thinking of making the switch and the jump. And I know that in my day-to-day conversations with some coaches, they are constantly asking me or considering getting into administration. So can you touch on some of your challenges that you had and then how you were able to overcome those challenges to be where you are today? Because, you know, you have jumped right in and you have been you have done a great job of embracing the roles, the plethora of roles that you've been in, from your internal start to now more external. So talk about some of the skills that you were able to pick up as a coach and how those have helped you out on that administrative end.
Gotcha. That's a really, really good question, because I get it a lot with coaches that have, you know, wanting to transition or have transitioned, and they're like, whoa, this may not be for me. One of the biggest challenges I had was having people to believe that I was done coaching. That was the biggest hurdle. A lot of people were like, girl, you're going to go back to it. I think you're a great coach. You should stay in it, you know. But, you know, God had other plans. So I had to first believe in my purpose and what I wanted for myself and the goals that I set for me. But a couple of things that you physically, I'm all about transparency and being transformational. And a lot of the transformational pieces that I did to really put me where I am now is building your network,
mm-hmm.
creating a system of advisors, people you can talk to and tell your dreams, I know we had a question about this from someone who wrote in, but creating advisors, I call it like your life and career board of directors. Mm-hmm. You know, people that you really can talk to, like yourself, being able to say, hey, Jennifer, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? Or, you know, Tiff, make sure you get your some experience in this. So I look back on those experiences when Lynn Dawson asked me to help with our Down East Classic. Those tools came in handy when last year we hosted the Nation's Classic up in D.C. And Mr. Marshall said, hey, Tiff, I want you to be the liaison for XYZ. And I was able to step in and use those tools. So never discount the things you're doing now. Like you say all the time, Jennifer, blossom where you're planted. Be great at what you're doing right now. And then bring people into your circle. Tell people your vision. One of the things that Monique is always getting on me about is posting the things you're doing. When you're speaking and when you're going places and you're doing this, let people know what you're doing. And that's one of the things that I'm working on, even in this administration role, that coaches should be doing, you know, while when they're in that role. And then if you're not good at something, own it. If you're not good with scouting reports, if you're not good with scouting reports as a coach, you're not going to be good with the administrative piece when it's ready to transition. You've got to make sure that you're organized. You've got to make sure you're meeting deadlines. So those transferable skills are invaluable and priceless, and if you aren't honing those as a coach, the transition is going to be tough, and people are not going to be able to put their name behind your work and believe in your purpose because you don't have the tools to transition appropriately. So, like I said, the biggest thing is tell people your dreams, tell people your goals, and even if they don't listen and don't believe right now, tell somebody else and be great where you are. One of the biggest things I wish I had done, you know, when I was a coach was really use social media the way we use it now. I look at people who started, you know, using the social media platforms, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook then, and how much it literally creates the brand for them. Mm-hmm. And people see what they're doing. I wish I had done that a little bit more. So I said take advantage of all of the things you have that don't cost you anything. So those
well, ladies,
things that you really can do.
We got lots and lots of more questions. So we need to take a short break here and chat in the garden with Monique A.J. Smith here on Survival Radio Network. And we continue chatting with Tiffany Tucker.
United Through Sport USA is a 501c3 nonprofit charity that's focused on working with kids from disadvantaged backgrounds using the power of sport to improve both education and life skills. We have global programs in St. Lucia, Argentina, South Africa, and Thailand. Our goal is to link up with different universities to offer volunteer coaching placements for those who are interested in coaching rugby, netball, cricket, field hockey, tennis, basketball, baseball, and also soccer. And we're also offering internship opportunities for those who are interested in sport management, sport marketing, event management, fundraising, social media, international business, development, education, physical education, and international relations. We feel the benefits of interning or volunteering for this program would be improving a student's self-esteem, a chance to give back, and escaping the American bubble. The overall picture is that a student would be making a global impact on the different communities that they will be working in, at the same time of making an impact on so many kids' lives. For more information about United Through Sport USA, please check out our website, unitedthroughsport.org/US, or check out our Facebook page, United Through Sport USA, or call me direct at 302-245-2663. Again, this is Dominique Scott, and I'm the Executive Director of United Through Sport, transforming lives through sport.
Life's journey provides seasons, and it is when we grow through them that we are changed in the process. Order your copy of Volume 1 and 2 of Seasons of Life and Growing Through Life, 28 Days of Growth Tools at AndreaTHarris.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden with Significance Blooms. Well, I got a couple of more questions. One is from T.J. Jones, Athletic Director, University of California, Riverside. She wants to know, who was the most influential person to you at UNC Chapel Hill outside of sports?
Most influential person outside of our athletic realm would probably be Cricket Lane.
Oh yeah, Cricket.
Yeah, and Jan Boxall, actually my advisor, two of the most selfless women, I was able to experience during my time at North Carolina. Of course, everyone knows Cricket and that mm-hmm. smile. And, you know, she's that person every day. And, you know, Jan Boxall, during the time I was at North Carolina, I lost my grandmother in the battle to breast cancer. Mm. And during that time, she was experiencing the same thing with her daughter, and her daughter, went on and beat it. But it was an amazing experience just to have someone there that knew exactly what I was going through on a more emotional level. And then someone that kind of just will put their foot in your butt when you needed it. So just of course, two women that look like me that, mm-hmm. Just gave me a lot of inspiration and really valued me as a person and not just an athlete.
Well, down the same line, Dr. Amy Linder, mm-hmm. North Carolina Central University, she would like to know, how has your experience playing at UNC Chapel Hill prepare you for your roles on the administrative side of collegiate athletics?
Gotcha. Well, this is this answer is probably very in conjunctive with the whole March Madness. My freshman year, when I actually committed to North Carolina, they had just come off of a 13-14 ACC season, which was, of course, horrible in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools would pray for a record like that now, but they had just come off a downward year, and we ended up going to the ACC championship where we played the other blue school that's about 8 miles down the road. And we lost the championship game. And I remember my coach having us sit on the sideline, like after we had lost, sit on the sideline, and she had us watch the whole championship ceremony. We watched them, get the award and cheer and take pictures and the confetti fall. And we watched them cut down the nets. We literally watched the whole start and end of their championship ceremony. And literally our team, you could tell at that moment, was just like, we transitioned from, why are we still out here, to, hold up, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
We are never allowing this again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having that confetti fall on my face and not be a champion. And what I will never do in life is not be a champion. I am not going to sit back and allow others, with talent just like I do, to be great and me, not me be mediocre. I have a vision board that I have in my office that I look at every day, and you know, one of the words, one of the big things says live big, dream big. I have to do that every day, even, you know, in my role now and the role that I may have to come, you know, in my career. You have to live in the moment and be great. And you see other people, you know, cheering and getting their awards in front of you when that could be you. So I refuse to do that. So that's kind of one of the biggest moments that kind of stick in my face. I just remember that confetti falling on me, and I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's one of the biggest moments.
Okay. Well, Harris won from a student sports management major at Old Dominion University, Jasmine Conway. She said, did you struggle being a woman in a field dominated by men, and what advice can you give to someone attempting to do the same?
I guess one of the things was transitioning from coaching to administration. A lot of my coaches here, we have a lot of male head coaches. I work for a male athletic director. I don't struggle in my current position, and I've never seen the kind of outright disrespect in my own career, but I know it's there. And I'm fully aware of it. And with making yourself aware, you can prepare your own self for those challenges. I remember going back to the Emerging AD Academy and just myself being transparent. Derek Gregg, the AD at Tulsa, one of the things he said is, I don't look at resumes of people who do not have master's degrees. And at that time, I had not yet taken the time out of my life to invest in myself and get my master's degree, because I was doing three jobs at one job, trying to put it all together and work my career and be great where I was, but I hadn't stopped and invested in myself. And since that time, I have. And, you know, it's those things where listen to the stuff that people are telling you, whether they're male or female, listen to it. And here I am listening to a man in a position that I would love to have. And, you know, he's giving me advice from his seat. So, you know, just having the tools to really be successful the way you want to be successful. And going back to 2007, when Jennifer worked at NACWA, but what was then NACWA now is the Women Leaders in Collegiate Sports. Going and being a part of the NACWA Institute and meeting people from around the country that were dealing with the same issues that we were all facing. We're all women in a male-dominated business. How do we create our own space? One of the people I love, Tammy Tranter, we call each other TT. So when I met her, she was a chief of staff for an athletic department on the university side. And I was like, what does that look like? What does that job look like? That's where I met ATN Thomas, the senior associate athletic director at North Carolina Central. We gave me the ability to see other women, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, that were literally in the same fight that I was in. And this is how they're being successful at it. So, you know, recognizing the problem and knowing that you're in a space that's typically dominated by men, that's fine too. But, you know, we still have a women's basketball team that hasn't lost a game in 113 games. So, you know, how many men's teams can say that? So let's celebrate our successes and not wallow in what we don't have.
That's right.
Let's go get it. Let's be proactive. Let's help each other. You know, I thank God so much for that NACWA experience and meeting, you know, Dr. L. Renee. You know, that's a senior associate AD at Winthrop now. Just being able to meet those people in that time and in that space where I was still a coach. I wasn't living the life that they live, but now it's become mine. So, you know, you have to, like I said, create your own success, recognize the deficiency, but make yourself great.
So we know you're a life. I know this. You're a lifelong learner, and so I'm always excited about what book you're reading, and I tell you what book I'm reading. And I saw that you were in a mastermind. What is that? And what is one you would be involved in Seasons of Empowerment if we were to launch a mastermind? What would that look like?
Well, actually, while I was at Elizabeth City, I had an opportunity to meet Ernest Sutton. And Ernest actually is currently the fraternity brother of the head coach I worked for. And, you know, Ernest is an invaluable supporter of our women's basketball team at the time. An amazing donor to Elizabeth City State and just a great person, former athlete, and just a great person to be around. So, you know, since then he has launched what's called the Mastermind Group, and he has a group every third Thursday of the month called Iron Sharpens Iron. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is decided to get people together with an entrepreneurial spirit to come and bring your ideas to the table, and how we help each other instead of people working in silos. Let's get our ideas out. Let's, of course, tell people your dreams. And like our next session is working on budgeting and building business plans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have anywhere from high school students in this room that are working to try to, you know, get their business off the ground, to people that are already in businesses and have been successful. So it's a really good group of people to really, it's kind of like the brain trust, you know,
right.
And everyone at the table just putting their ideas out there. Hey, did you think about this? Oh, that's a great job. You know, I would love to invest and help you, and, you know, we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really, really good. But as for books, I am currently reading Presence by Amy Cuddy, Bringing Your Boldest Self into Your Biggest Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, right now in the space that I am in, I've got to be my boldest self every day. I'm going out and cultivating relationships with donors and corporate sponsors on a daily basis. And yeah, when you hear a lot of no's, it gets kind of, you know, it gets you down a little bit, but it always takes that one yes of $2 million. And it puts you forget about all the no's. So, you know, of course, just bringing my boldest self every day in all facets of life, personally, spiritually as well, you know, making time for God and, you know, understanding the time and the space that he creates for me, and understanding what the power of prayer really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about, oh, pray for me, but what does that prayer look like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just learning more about just the whole holistic part of just being who Tiffany Tucker is. So
it seems like the athleticpreneur piece would probably be the best place to have a mastermind.
It definitely will. Okay. It definitely would. That way people, you know, whatever they have their heart set on or stuff that they've been writing down. One of the things I told Ernest when we talked a couple weeks ago, I said I write a lot of stuff down in journals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to get it off paper and really put it out there to the world, because it's one of those things where I see people doing it that don't have the resume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about what it takes to, you know, be a champion, but you've not even been a competitor in any facet of your life. So
I like that.
It's one of those things where let's get it off paper. Let's get it out of your head. Let's get it off Post-it and really, you know, put some life to it.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Tiffany, because I said I got some big, bold moves to announce. So I will say it because you alluded to it, and you don't even know what I'm about to say. I partnered with a publisher, and we're going to do an anthology from those in the garden about how to position themselves for success. So I think I might take your little word here, position themselves to be champions. I think I'm going to combine the minds here. I like that one. So we just had that conversation on Saturday night.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
You see what grows
that's
in the garden?
That's huge. It grows fast.
So if you're not listening to the garden, you're missing out.
The sunshine just started this past weekend. So the light that it did get, look at how it's grown.
So, I'll be talking to you, right?
Yes. Well, please do. You know where to find me. You know where my office is.
Yes, I can. I pass it every day. But, for others who have those journals, it's just a chapter that can cover, that can inspire someone else. I keep telling you all to hone your niche, so that you can get your name out there so that, because you said it, what's your brand? So I'm giving everybody opportunity to make their brand inside a book. And more importantly, when you put that brand in a book, that book becomes your business card to get you speaking again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay?
Yes, it really does. I've had opportunities to speak places that I would never have imagined, people wanting to hear your story.
Mm-hmm.
And, people wanted to learn from you because, of course, I'm one that always feels like I'm learning. I'm still figuring it out. I can't be the expert when I'm still figuring it out. But then it took me, to be 30-plus years old to realize we're all still figuring it out. We're just,
mm-hmm.
the strength and the tidbits that we're learning along the way, that's the stuff we pass down. I love Les Brown, and one of the things he says, the universe wants you to win.
Mm-hmm.
The things that have fallen into place and the people that God has put in our path shows as reassurance that we're doing something right. And,
mm-hmm.
in all of successes and failures, highs and lows, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, you
are. And God is steadily blessing me and the people around me. And I'm just so grateful that he chose me.
Well, I got one more minute for another caller. If you hit one, my engineer would bring you in. In the meantime, over your career, what is your greatest accomplishment and what opportunity challenged you?
Of course, starting off with the challenges is the transition. The transition from Claflin to Elizabeth City was one of the biggest transitions because at first I saw it as like this huge failure and that I had not lived up to the goals and the dreams that I had set forth in myself. But it took some real soul searching and really trusting in the people that I had around me at the time and listening to what they were saying. Like, look at the things that you did do while you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And once I made that transition and believing and walking in what my purpose really, really is, like I tell people all the time, I found my purpose in my failure. So that would have been the most challenging. And then one of the things that I do consider a challenge is the sacrifice of family. In my travel, in my career, although great and successful, I've not been able to be as hands-on with my family as some people, some people have. I've always lived away, working in Hampton has been the closest I've been to home since I worked at Radford in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a sacrifice. But with that being said, my greatest accomplishments are my former players, my former student athletes. I connect with them on a daily basis in one way or another. Of course, Facebook keeps us all connected, but my greatest success are my students. I think about just a couple weeks ago, Chelsea Davis, I coached at Elizabeth City. She was on, She's an actress. She was on, For My Man, one of the TV series that are on now. Jaleesa Brown is a police officer now, and mm-hmm. I remember when she went into the academy and was going through training, she was just like, Coach, they don't have anything on you. So Jaquana Davis and Brittany are parents. You know, they're raising their own children. They're, you know. Kaylin Breeding, she's a school teacher now, and she's teaching her students through transparent and transformational leadership. She uses her own, you know, struggles during college. She, like myself, was injured while she was in college, and she's using that to help her students and teaching them on a daily basis. And Kashawn Williams, she's a radio personality up in Philadelphia, and you can hear her on the radio. And, you know, just watching them live the dream that they wanted for themselves is one of the largest successes.
So we got to go, Tiff. It's been a joy to have you on here. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And thank you, Clark Garrison, Survivor Rail Network, for having me join the family, the brand to find, Nikki Curry, for identifying this great opportunity. Join us next Tuesday, 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.